शिवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 47, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द सॉन्ग ऑफ द बी, टेक्स्ट 57। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी रिस्पॉन्सिवली। दृष्ट्वा एवं आदि गोपीनां कृष्ण आवेश आत्म विक्लवं उद्धवः परम प्रीतः ता नमस्यन् इदं जगौ। दृष्ट्वैवं आदिगोपीनां कृष्णावेशात्मविक्लवम् उद्धवः परमः प्रीतः तानमस्यन् इदं जगौ। दृष्ट्वैवं आदिगोपीनां कृष्णावेशात्मविक्लवम् उद्धवः परमः प्रीतः तानमस्यन्निदं जगौ। दृष्ट्वैवं आदिगोपीनां कृष्णावेशात्मविक्लवम् उद्धव परम प्रीतस् तानमस्यन् इदं जगौ। दृष्ट्वैवमादिगोपीनां कृष्णावेशात्मविक्लवम् उद्धव परमः प्रीतस् तानमस्यन् इदं जगौ। दृष्ट्वैवमादिगोपीनां कृष्णावेशात्मविक्लवम् उद्धवः परमप्रीतस् तानमस्यन्निदं जगौ। दृष्ट्वैवम् आदिगोपीनां कृष्णावेशात्मविक्लवम् उद्धव परम प्रीतस् तानमस्यन्निदं जगौ। माताजी। दृष्ट्वैवमादिगोपीनां कृष्णावेशात्मविक्लवम् उद्धव परम प्रीतस् तानमस्यन् इदं जगौ। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। दृष्ट्वा सीइंग एवं सच आदि एंड मोर गोपीनां ऑफ द गोपीज कृष्ण आवेश देयर टोटल एब्जॉर्प्शन in thought of Krishna, Atma consisting of Viklavam, the mental agitation, उद्धवः उद्धव परमा सुप्रीमली प्रीतः प्लीज्ड ता टू देम नमस्यन् ऑफरिंग ऑल रिस्पेक्ट इदम् दिस जगौ सैंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन Thus seeing how the gopis were always disturbed because of their total absorption in Krishna, Uddhava was supremely pleased. Desiring to offer them all respect, he sang as follows. Purport. Viklava, mental disturbance, should not be confused here with ordinary material distress. It is clearly stated that Uddhava was supremely pleased and he felt this way because he saw that the gopis had attained the highest state of loving ecstasy. Uddhava was an exalted member of the court in Dwarka, an important minister in world political affairs, and yet he felt the spiritual urge to offer his obeisances to the glorious gopis, although externally they were mere cowherd girls in an insignificant village called Vrindavan. Thus, to explain his feelings, he sang the following verses. Srila Jiva Goswami states that Uddhava sang these verses daily while he was in Vrindavan. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा
Like His Grace Bhavanand Prabhu said, this is way above my head. 10th canto, that the song of the bee. Especially more so, it's all the more awkward with so many great scholars and teachers of Srimad Bhagavatam sitting right in front of me, and scholars of Bhagavatam from Vidyapit. I don't know what I'll be able to speak in front of them. But basically for my own purification, I will attempt to speak something which is more, I don't say I have a realization, but just what I have heard from devotees, other devotees. Actually, when I read this purport, very first line, Viklava, mental disturbance, just these first three words, and I was reminded exactly 2 weeks back, Thursday before last Thursday, His Grace Gopinath Chandra Prabhu was sitting here and he gave a very nice exposition, and he began his analysis with explaining how that in the world we live in, mental health is a serious concern. That was his first line. And here it is talking about mental disturbance. So I said, okay, I think Gopinath Chandra Prabhu spoke a couple of weeks too early. So this verse actually describes about how the gopis were always disturbed. Uddhav, he's been spending some time in Vrindavan now, he has spent some time in Vrindavan, and he always observes, he sees that the gopis are always disturbed. But there is a qualifying adjective to this Viklavam. Viklavam is the word which is denotes, which is translated as mental disturbance, mental agitation. But Sukadeva Goswami qualifies it with an adjective, Krishna Aveshatma Viklavam. Krishna Aveshatma means their total absorption in thought of Krishna. They are disturbed, no doubt. Gopis are mentally disturbed, agitated. But what is the cause of their disturbance? The cause of their disturbance is their total absorption in thought of Krishna. So, I was thinking, one of the reasons Lord Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the reasons that people come to approach Krishna or they come to Krishna consciousness, he gives is because of people feeling distressed or mentally disturbed, agitated. So Krishna says, Chaturvijaha bhajante mam jana sukritano arjuna arto. He starts his first category of people. Chatur, he says there are four categories of people. Chaturvidha bhajante mam, who worship me. And the first category among them, he classifies as arto, or those who are distressed. So, it's not always, because there are other three categories also, arto, artharti, jigyasu, jnani, cha bhartarshava. But in today's world, in this world which we live in, especially if we analyze or we take a broad cross-section of the people who come to Krishna consciousness or who take to some form of spirituality, mostly it is due to some distress that they are facing. A big majority of them are people who are distressed in some way. Maybe their health is failing. Maybe their business is not doing good. Maybe they have problems in their relationships. Some problems, which is causing a lot of mental distress, a lot of mental agitation. And they feel that things have gone beyond their control. It is now something which is has to be addressed to a higher power. I cannot do anything in this situation. It is beyond me. So, the approach, spirituality, many of them come to Krishna consciousness. So even Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu mentions that again there also Srila Rupa Goswami, when he gives us the characteristics of pure devotional service, the first characteristic that he mentions is kleshagni, that practicing not right at the outset, but practicing, as I said, devotional service gives relief from material distress, mental distress. So even there, one of the first characteristics which is discussed is kleshagni, or relief from mental distress. How practicing Krishna consciousness gives one relief from material, mental distresses. So, many times, people have their own ideas and conceptions of how they would like to be relieved from their distress. First of all, they have their own ideas of what is the distress. What is distress? What is causing them distress? What is the cause of their mental agitation? And then they also have their own therapies they feel which would give them relief from that distress. They feel that if only this would happen, or if only all these pieces of jigsaw puzzle would fall in such a way that it forms this picture which I have in my own mind, then it will be all, everything will be like, you know, perfect, just right. So, you know, it's, even then Krishna, as I mentioned in the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that even if somebody approaches, you know, some distressed person approaches, the very fact that he is approaching Krishna for a solution means he categorizes this such people, such all these four categories of people as Sukritina. That means pious. Because they are approaching Krishna for the solution. They know at least, you know, at least even if they are not doing so with a conviction that here is one place that I will get a lasting solution. But at least they are going to the right source for the solution. You know, they are not going around with their own mental concoctions. So Krishna calls them as Sukritina. So therefore, the distress that people suffer, and they have their own, you know, even if they are approaching Krishna, but it's not very clear in the initial stages. So, as Rupa Goswami says, that kleshagni, that means pure devotion is practicing Krishna consciousness, one of the characteristics is kleshagni. That means removes the mental distress, or the distress caused by the different kinds of problems faced in this material world. But the real meaning of this kleshagni is not just that it removes the disturbances, it removes the distress. Distress is just the effect. It's just an external manifestation of a more deeper and underlying problem. So, kleshagni, you know, generally people, when they come to Krishna consciousness even, their idea is only to be relieved of the effects, the externally visible symptoms of what they feel is wrong with my life. Like, poor man will come and say, please give me wealth. You know, sick man may come and say, please give me good health. You know, then somebody who has got some problems with his relationships, family problems, he'll say, please restore all my relationships, you know. So it'll be just external symptoms that they are interested in taking care of. Much like, you know, Prabhupada used to give this very famous example of trying to cure a boil by blowing on it. You know, you have a boil on your hand and you just blow on it, maybe you will get a cooling sensation for some time. But that's not going to solve the problem. That's not going to give you a cure or give you a solution for the problem. The solution also has to be as much deep-rooted as much as the problem is. So mostly when people come to Krishna consciousness, initially at least, the expected result is more cosmetic. You know? Just let me be relieved of this problem. But they are only asking for relief from some effects. But they don't want to be relieved of the basic, or they don't even realize basically that there is a far more deep-rooted and underlying problem to the which is the cause of my distress. And devotional service or Krishna consciousness actually deals with removing this cause of distress rather than just removing this effect of distress. The basic cause of distress. And once the basic cause of distress is removed from the life of a living entity, then automatically all the effects are adjusted. I mean, it doesn't happen instantaneously, obviously, like Srila Prabhupada used to always give the famous example of the fan. You switch off the fan, it doesn't immediately come to a stop. There are certain residual effects, it keeps rotating for some time, but after some time, definitely, since you have switched off the power supply, the fan is going to come to a total stop. It will keep rotating for some time, there are residual effect, as a residual effect. So similarly, once we take to this process of Krishna consciousness, then we have actually started addressing the root cause of the mental distress that we are facing. And surely, just as when we switched off the power supply, surely and certainly at one point of time, we will be rid of this mental distress. But in the interim period, there will be some residual effects, and we have to be patient with those residual effects. So, Krishna consciousness aims to get to the cause of our distresses or our miseries. And basically, very broadly, we can categorize the cause of our misery into three broad categories. First of all, the material activities which we engage in, the activities which we engage in which are not at all connected to Krishna consciousness and which are totally materially motivated, those activities themselves are the cause of our distress. We may feel, you know, externally, oh, this is so nice, it is giving me so much wealth, or, you know, but down the line, sure, if it is not in any way connected to Krishna, surely it will become the cause of our distress. And secondly, because we are engaging in material activities, obviously there will be contemplation about those material activities. The dwelling on those material activities or the contemplations on those material desires. So this is the second cause of our miseries. And third cause is, which is actually even the cause of the above two, is ignorance. So basically Krishna consciousness, the whole process of Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada has given us, aims to eradicate these three things. First of all, performing any material activities. Second, trying to minimize the contemplation on material activities and desires. And third, Srila Prabhupada has given us this vast storehouse of knowledge in the form of his books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so many other books to actually break apart this third one, which is the ignorance of various kinds. Of course, there may be so many other things we can think about, false ego, the wrong kind of association and everything, but we can, you know, broadly if we take, all of those will fit into one of the above three. So, here we are discussing in this particular verse today that the gopis, they experienced mental disturbance. And this kind of mental disturbance which the gopis experienced caused them to be madly attached to Krishna. Their attachment to Krishna was extremely intensified. This is where, you know, it's very clearly, as I said in the start, at the beginning, Viklava means mental disturbance. But we should understand that Sukadeva Goswami qualifies this word Viklava with the adjective Krishna Veshatma. This mental disturbance is caused in gopis due to their total absorption in thought of Krishna, and it is like a cyclic thing. It's like an infinite loop, as they say in computer language or engineering language, infinite loop. Their thoughts of Krishna is causing them to be totally mentally disturbed. And because of that, they are getting more and more, their attachment to Krishna is getting more and more intensified, and therefore they are having more and more thoughts about Krishna, and then the cycle goes on infinitely like that. It's an infinite loop. On the other hand, the disturbances that we discussed, the material disturbances, they are disturbances which take us away from Krishna. Our material activities, our contemplation about those activities, our planning for achieving certain material desires, and our ignorance, all of these take us away from Krishna. So therefore, this is like, you know, again I am reminded of something from Gopinath Chandra Prabhu's class, that he was talking about spiritual bipolar disorder and material bipolar disorder. You know, there is bipolar disorder in both places, in spiritual world also and in material world also. What is differentiating? According to Gopinath Chandra Prabhu, the boundary was whether we are able to maintain our equanimity, whether we are able to maintain our, you know, being steady in our determination to practice Krishna consciousness and not being swayed by certain things which are like, you know, certain carrots which are dangled in front of us to engage in material activities. So, there are disturbances that take us closer to Krishna. And such disturbances are not a bad thing. Like, many times, you know, there are disturbances in our practice of Krishna consciousness or in our attempts to spread Krishna consciousness. Many of you all preachers here, you know, you all must be much more aware about what I am talking about in terms of disturbance when we are trying to spread Krishna consciousness. So these disturbances may not necessarily be a bad thing. Maybe in the short term we may view them as a bad thing, but overall, if we are steady in our Krishna consciousness, we are sincere in our practice of Krishna consciousness, then maybe such disturbances may be a good thing in terms of shaking us up from our lethargy, helping us to get rid of long-standing anarthas. So, in that sense, such disturbances in our practice of Krishna consciousness or in our attempts to spread Krishna consciousness are actually nice because they help us to become more focused. Or it may also help us to shake up our long-standing, deep-rooted attachments. You know, finally we feel that enough is enough. You know. So a disturbance is sometimes required to remove all these attachments, all these anarthas from our consciousness. And many a times, what is initially seen as a disturbance in our attempts to practice Krishna consciousness or in our attempts to spread Krishna consciousness, if we are sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness or if we are sincerely following in the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas and trying to prosecute Krishna consciousness, then many a time it has been observed that such disturbance, they lead to very wonderful results. And we have so many examples. We have so many examples. Case in point is Srila Prabhupada himself. Srila Prabhupada, he got his instruction from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. And even while he was a grahastha with his own business and everything, he sincerely tried to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master by starting this Back to Godhead, printing it himself, writing all the articles also himself, printing it himself, distributing it one to one on the streets of Delhi himself. It was not that he achieved very great success in it. It was not that Back to Godhead became a very big magazine, you know, very big, very highly circulated publication in India. Nothing of that sort. But still, Prabhupada stuck to it. Then he tried preaching in Jhansi. Initially there was very good response, but then again everything fizzled out. He tried his best to preach Krishna consciousness in India to the Indians, but never happened. And then he did not just sit down and think, yeah, my Guru Maharaj has told me to preach in the English language to the people in the West, but I am hardly able to make any effect on the people in India. How am I able to have any effect on the people in the West? Hardly Indians, they themselves have so much background about Krishna. Everybody practically at least knows who is Krishna. And I am talking about Krishna and his philosophy to Indians. They themselves are not interested in it. Why will the Western people be interested? And even he had, his godbrothers had gone to the West and they had come back unsuccessful. So he could have sat that way. But he said, no, let me try to do my part. I will do my part. And then whatever happens, it will be Krishna's desire. He even expresses such sentiments in his famous poem, Markine Bhagavad Dharma, which he wrote when he reached Boston Harbor. And he says, I don't know why you have brought me. He tells Krishna, I don't know why you have brought me here. Maybe you have some purpose in bringing me here, but whatever it is, you will have to fulfill me. You will have to use me as an instrument. I don't know what am I going to do here. You can use me however you want. So I am doing my part. Rest is up to you. So he faced so much disturbance. We can imagine, you know, just like now slowly devotees in our ashram, some people are, you know, they are crossing 50, some are going approaching 45 years of age, people approaching 40 years of age, 35 years of age, and we experience, you know, slowly we are experiencing. Actually, it may not be that we are realizing, but still we are experiencing what King Kulasekar meant when he said that idam shariram parinama peshalam patatya avashyam sata sandhi jarjaram. Most of us, we experience actually every joint of those shatasandhi. What happens? Every joint makes us realize, oh, okay, there is a joint here. I never thought there is some problems might arise here. But slowly as the years go by, we realize. And to think of Srila Prabhupada at the age of 70, with no financial backing, no knowledge of anybody, no personal acquaintance with anyone, it was only through some acquaintance he met the father of Gopal Agarwal in Delhi, and then I think it was Mr. Ram Agarwal, he said that, okay, my son stays in USA, I can give you a letter. And that was it. After that, Prabhupada never met that gentleman. And then his son also thought, oh, my father always keeps sending this request, but nobody turns up. So, okay, this time also he has sent a request, I'll send the letter. Nobody comes. This time also nobody will come. But Prabhupada was made of a totally different material. He was not like the other sadhus which his father had sent letters for previously. He had disturbances, definitely. You know, his health and bodily issues, so many, at 70 years of age, definitely body is on the deteriorating path. Most of y'all are doctors also, y'all definitely know. And still, he didn't say, oh, now what can I do? Maybe, you know, if I was, like when I was 40 years old, maybe I could have done something when I gone, now what I will be able to do? Forget it. No. He thought that, okay, there will be lot of disturbance, let me go. And after going there also, so much disturbance in terms of where to stay. Then he was staying with, first with Gopal and Sally Agarwal, then he moved to New York. He was staying with Dr. Mishra. Initially he was staying in the same apartment, then Dr. Mishra giving another apartment, a smaller place. So many things, his typewriter got stolen. Typewriter was such an important instrument for Prabhupada, you know, he used to constantly keep writing his manuscripts. That got stolen. And it, still, Prabhupada was always focused about, okay, how do I preach? And even after becoming a world acharya and so much acclaim and so many disciples all over the world, so many centers all over the world, even after all of that, we see here in Mumbai, in the episode where Srila Prabhupada was trying to acquire this land at Juhu, again so much disturbance. Wherever he was in the world at any point of time, all his mental faculties were focused on what is happening in Juhu, trying to get the latest reports from Juhu. Are we going to get the land? Is the construction going on time? What is happening in Juhu? That was his total focus, always. So, for devotees, there is such disturbances, they are struggle. Definitely they are a struggle. But the anxiety that devotees face in the process of practicing Krishna consciousness, in the process of trying to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness, this anxiety is for Krishna. This disturbance is not because their material sense gratification is being interfered with. It's not because, oh, why is my body paining or why am I not able... No. The disturbance is the mental anxiety which they feel, the disturbance that they feel is all because of how can I serve Krishna more. My service to Krishna is being impeded. That is the main point which is causing the agitation. Not that, oh, my senses, oh, my body is paining, or this is that. That is secondary. And as I said previously, many times, after such disturbance, when the devotees exhibit their perseverance and their sincerity to practice Krishna consciousness, so many wonderful things manifest. Like, all the episodes that I mentioned, today what we are sitting here discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, is because Srila Prabhupada just went on plugging away at his desire to serve Krishna and serve the desires of his spiritual master. Now on a more, you know, okay, somebody might say, oh, you are talking about Srila Prabhupada, he is pure devotee, Jagat Guru. You know. What about me? I am not on that platform. So we have so many other examples in this organization of ISKCON. You know. Like 1973, George Harrison, he donated this manor, Bhakti Vedanta, which is known as Bhakti Vedanta Manor today, to Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON. So, this particular place where this Bhakti Vedanta Manor is located, that place is in a very, like, you know, not in the proper city of London. It is away from London. It's in a very rural setting of London. And in the United Kingdom, the government is very strict about maintaining certain standards. If it is a heritage building, and that building is like more than 100 years old, if it is a heritage building, then you know, anything, even if you want to drive a pin, a nail into the wall, you have to get permission from the local municipal council. You cannot even, you know, just take a nail and hammer it into the wall. No, you can't do that. So that's the kind of structure that they had. So since 1973, initially when George Harrison gave that place to ISKCON, so then there were DTs came there and DTs started getting worshipped. And initially there was an agreement between the local council, village council and ISKCON, that they can start their worship there, provided that there will not be more than 1,000 visitors on any given day. That was the condition between the village council and ISKCON, Bhaktivedanta Manor. You cannot have more than 1,000 visitors, because if you have more than 1,000 visitors, so many cars will come into our village, and there will be so much of traffic congestion and so much of noise for the local residents, and we don't want that, because of presence of your organization, that it should cause trouble to the entire local population. If that is going to happen, then we are not going to give permission. So permission was, at most you can have 1,000, max 1,000 visitors in any given day, not more than that. So initially when they started, this was in the 70s, this was what it was. And nobody thought that ISKCON would grow to what it is. And slowly and slowly and slowly, this Bhaktivedanta Manor, it became a big hub for all the people of Indian origin, especially from Hindu background, to congregate. Especially Janmashtami, Ram Navami and all such festivals became huge festivals. And by the time it was 1987, it was a major issue. And the village council just said, enough is enough. You know, y'all are not following the agreement that we had, and we'll have to shut down this place. We'll just have to shut down. Now this is the government of that particular local place telling this organization, you have to shut down because of the problems which are being caused to all the local residents, the village. You have so many thousands of visitors coming into your temple, and you know, it's causing traffic congestion, noise pollution for the local residents. We cannot take this. We'll have to shut down. So the devotees could have said, okay, let us find a different place. You know, we can keep this as a small place and we'll find a different place where the authorities are more flexible in their permissions and everything. They could have said that. But then, it was not ordinary place. That was Bhaktivedanta Manor, where Srila Prabhupada himself had resided, and Srila Prabhupada himself had desired that the temple should be there. So the devotees, they stuck to their guns, so to say. They just said, no way, we are not moving. We are not moving. And so much so that their sincerity and their desire to spread Krishna consciousness was so overwhelming that in the entire United Kingdom, all the Hindus, they united under one banner. You know? So as I said, when we show some sincerity, it gives them something wonderful results. And that was when, in order to attract the youth to this particular situation, that was when the Pandav Sena was launched. And one of the very nice outcomes of this agitation was actually the formation of this Pandav Sena, which is such a big youth outreach program of ISKCON in practically all over Europe. We have, in fact, right now His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu is traveling with this Pandav Sena group, to Spain. So it's such a big youth outreach program. It came out of this agitation between the local village council and ISKCON. You know, whether you can practice Krishna consciousness here or you cannot. And even more at home, here, right here, we have this community, ISKCON Chowpatti. We have this community. I don't know how many of you all know this, but at one point, of course, most of you all must have noticed this, that practically this is the only ISKCON center in the world which has Mangalarti at 5 a.m. Most other ISKCON centers have Mangalarti at 4:30 a.m. So there is a reason behind that. We had neighbors who were troubled and they had a trouble and then it went to a court and the court and so many discussions happened back and forth. And finally the devotees were also so sincere and they wanted to serve Krishna. They said, they just stuck to their position. So finally they said, okay, you can start Mangalarti at 5. The court gave permission to start Mangalarti at 5. There were so many, even now we follow that, there are so many restrictions in terms of you cannot use sound system for the Mangalarti, which is very odd for other devotees when they come from other ISKCON centers when they come. You don't use microphone for Mangalarti. But you go any other ISKCON center, that's a normal thing. Mangalarti is sung with microphone, at least, you know. So one kartal, one mridang. So all this is court decision, which you are following. But still, we don't mind, but we are more focused on our service to Krishna and our sincerity and sincere desire to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada's mercy is there, Krishna's mercy is there, and we are able to do that as a small offering to Srila Prabhupada. So, the most important thing is, there are struggles involved. You know, struggles are involved for devotees. You know, if all these disturbances are struggles. It's not an easy thing. You know, for Prabhupada, it was never an easy thing. Especially Prabhupada never seen, I mean, of course, he stayed in North India. He stayed in Vrindavan. But Vrindavan never had snow. You know, Vrindavan, there was no snow. And, like what happens in the West, in New York and all, it's all white Christmas. But Vrindavan never has snow. Maybe at most what it becomes is it gets foggy. And rarely does the temperature fall below freezing. But at 70 years of age, I mean, at 70 years of age, if you are to face something, some experience which you have never faced in your life, you know, ice, and below freezing temperatures. So it is a struggle and there is anxiety due to disturbance, but the anxiety is for Krishna. The anxiety is not for a personal sense gratification being interfered. Whereas material distress or anxiety is due to disturbance or interference in our own personal sense gratification. So the type of distress or material anxiety which is being mentioned in today's verse is anxiety for service to Krishna. Anxiety due to service to Krishna being impeded. So sometimes it so happens. The devotees feel, you know, sometimes the devotees, they do not have capacity or the ability to serve Krishna. And therefore the devotees feel humbled and distressed. But this type of disturbance can be purifying. How? This type of distress gives a lot of strength to the devotee because in this disturbed condition, there is no choice for the devotee but to turn to Krishna. We realize that when we are disturbed in such a manner, we realize that there is no way on our own that we can deal with this. Like we have this famous example of Draupadi. Initially when Dushasana started pulling her sari, she tried to, you know, hold on to it with her hands. But then when she realized that it is beyond my strength, she just raised both her hands and called out to Krishna and surrendered to Krishna. So sometimes Krishna puts us through such situations because that is the goal of our Krishna conscious life. I mean, we may have so many, you know, so many small goals, like, okay, I want to start a center here, I want to open temple, or I want to start youth preaching programs or youth outreach programs here, or maybe I want to distribute Srila Prabhupada books, thousands of Prabhupada books or lakhs of Prabhupada books, or even in crores I want to distribute Srila Prabhupada books. All these desires are all important, but these are just the effects of total surrender to Krishna. So the real purpose of Krishna consciousness is actually to come to that point of Sharanagati, to become completely dependent upon Krishna and not anything else. And then all these remaining other things which are, you know, sometimes devotees have this, we may have this desire, but these desires are actually effects which will manifest when this basic real goal of Krishna consciousness to be totally dependent upon Krishna is achieved. So, the gopis are personification of total dependence upon Krishna. You know, there is this, so sometimes devotees feel that, you know, okay, so that means if I am distressed or if I am in disturbance, that's a very nice condition. Like, there is this story about a group of devotees in one ISKCON temple, they were reading Kunti Maharani's prayers, and in that there is this famous verse of Vipada Santuta Saswat Tatta Tatra Jagat Guru. You know, may these calamities come again and again, because if I see these calamities, then I get to see you. And then, once I see you, then I don't have to see this cycle of birth and death again. So the devotees felt, oh, this is a nice prayer to offer Krishna. So they started praying like this. They started chanting this verse every day. And slowly what happened was, their temple started facing so many problems from the local municipal corporation, from the neighbors, and financial issues, and so many problems started coming. So then they said, my God, is it because we are actually praying and we are sincere in our prayer? What is happening? So many times our distress is due to our sense gratification being thwarted. And this is basically because there is a basic incongruence between what we perceive as the goal of practicing Krishna consciousness and the real purpose of Krishna consciousness. So we should be also very clear. So the real purpose of Krishna consciousness is to totally surrender to Krishna. So therefore, even if we feel the need to intensify our Krishna consciousness, we need to surrender to Krishna in this matter and accept His verdict in the matter, rather than trying in our own clumsy ways to try and please Krishna. So we just have to surrender to Krishna, sincerely pray to Krishna that I am surrendered to you. Whatever you feel is the right way to, so that I can progress in Krishna consciousness, you do that. If you feel that sending some disturbances or distress in my life, that is up to you. Or if you feel that maybe something else, I need some carrots. So Krishna, like I'll just finish with this very nice quote somebody sent me. He says, if Krishna leads you to the edge of a cliff, don't question His wisdom. He will either catch you if you fall or teach you how to fly. So we just have to have the faith that Krishna will respond. How He will respond is up to Him. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Please, we are beyond time, so I don't think we have any time for questions. And if you do have, you can come personally and ask. Any comments also, we can give personally. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.